You got the Greyhound flu?
I got the Greyhound.
Oh, boy.
Bristol Farmer Bob's flu.
Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, it was our fault. We made a mistake. Spider said it was clear. I wasn't clear, and, you know, I didn't want to tear my car up, tear his car up either. I respect everybody, and I demand respect. And, you know, I apologized to the guy when he came over the car, explained to him what happened, and then he took it to another level when he started calling me an idiot and whatever else, and I don't appreciate that. I'm not going to take it. I told him how I feel. I called him out. He didn't show. You know, and so, you know, I'm good with it if he's good with it, but I'm not going to be disrespected by no means.
Yeah, I guess I had a dinner date at Applebee's last night that I didn't find out until it was too late. It's a shame. Love their riblets and boneless wings, but...
Welcome to Meet Me at Applebee's. Applebee's is an establishment where you are not able to buy warm canned meat doused in ketchup and eat trackside, but you can eat fine meals. Whatever the fuck those guys were eating, it was gross. We're going to get into it. But hey... It's Brian, it's Rob, it's Ashley. We're here to talk about some racing. How you guys doing?
Hi. Hey. Applebee's.
I said the Applebee's.
I know, I just wanted to say it too. Yeah, True Love is just waking up from her hibernation after Bristol. Cause he has spent a...
I truly don't know what day it is.
Fucking week in the trenches.
I've been sleeping nonstop. Sleeping and eating.
I mean, I guess we can just dive straight into that. That is going to be the bulk of the show, is talking about Bristol. It's a big NASCAR weekend, obviously a cutoff race. And then we had one of our own on the ground, quite literally, down in the trenches.
So let's
on the physical earth.
Yeah, I mean, let's do it. Let's just dive right into it. So, Ashley, let's talk about your trip there. What day did you leave lovely Georgia to head up to Bristol?
I left... Hold on, Chuck. What day was Wednesday? I left to go to Nashville.
Oh, right. You took a detour first. That's
right.
Yeah,
my friend that I was going with lives in Nashville, so.
Nice.
Good excuse to.
Did you get into trouble in Nashville?
Not really. Me and my friend that I was staying with went to Duke's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's always fun.
Yeah, it's good to. I drink a lot of something called space beers.
Oh, yeah, I remember you saying that. Yeah, what was that again?
Apparently, it was a pint of Budweiser with some kind of flavored vodka and orange juice?
Fucking delicious right there.
It was delicious, but not what I needed to, like, start my trip off. I didn't need to start my trip with a hangover.
But yet.
In Rome.
So you got shithoused in Nashville.
Well, just a little baby house.
Yeah. Little dog house.
And then Thursday, I met up with my other friend, and that's when we took the trek to Bristol. And I also on that trip had my first Bucky's experience. And I just want to state for the record that I fucking hate Bucky's.
Wait, okay. There's Bucky's in Tennessee?
Yeah, there was a couple of them. It was a terrible experience.
They're even in South Carolina now. There's one, like, between Darlington and my parents' house. And,
no shit.
Well, I'll just say, because I want to hear what happened to you, but I'll just say that I think the place is vastly overrated. Like, I just thought it was just a massively huge gas station. Like, it wasn't.
That's what it is.
I had some beef jerky. But it's just like, people talk it up like, I want to go on a road trip just to go to Bucky's. And it's like, dude, it's a fucking gas station,
like a
man.
Like, and I was like, okay, well, it must be good. Let me go check it out. And there's like a line of traffic off the interstate to get in this place. And then you go in, and it's just like shoulder to shoulder with like, run-of-the-mill white people just losing their minds, and I just didn't get it. It was so overwhelming. I went straight to the bathroom and straight out. Nice bathroom, so I will give them that.
Well, that's worth celebrating.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's why so many people are there. Come for the bathrooms.
Maybe.
Do they sell beer at Bucky's at least?
I think they do.
There you go.
I didn't dive that deep into it. I was trying to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, in all my years, I've never actually been to a Bucky's, which is crazy.
Well, they're definitely migrating up north, so eventually you'll probably get your shot.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know if there's buildings that large in Massachusetts, so we're allowed to build anything bigger than a fucking, you know, six-story loft complex with a Starbucks in the bottom of it. But I'll keep an eye out. Hopefully, it seems like New Hampshire would be a place for that kind of place to pop up. But
hey, live free or die.
Fucking A. So you hate Buc-ee's.
I'd rather die.
I'd rather die than go to Buc-ee's.
Went to Buc-ee's, but yeah, we went, got there Thursday evening, set up camp real quick. We stayed at this place called Farmer Bob's, which is right across the street from the drag strip. And it is literally a farm. They just like move all their cows off into a corner, put up an electric fence around them for like the weekend. Give the rest of us drunkards this nice lush pasture to sleep in.
Well, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
So it's just at the end of the drag strip?
It's right across the highway from it.
Oh, that's cool. So you can walk and all that?
Yeah. Hey.
Beastie Boys just started playing. Whoops, sorry, folks.
Nice.
I need to calm down over there. Yeah, so we could walk back and forth through the track.
That's awesome.
So we,
did you make it to the ARCA race?
I did not. I could hear the ARCA race while we were setting up camp.
You could hear how slow some of the cars were. Rolling around in second gear or whatever the fuck they were doing.
I didn't listen that close.
Good God.
Who won? Does anyone know who won that?
Fucking, what's his name? Jesse Love, I believe.
Yeah, probably.
Probably. You don't even need to watch it to know. William Sawalowicz got the championship, the ARCA East championship. So, congratulations,
there's
you
like,
beat.
There's like another ARCA championship.
It's like three of them. But he beat the other Toyota, so good for him. Hmm. And I assume the Venturinis are involved in that somehow, since I think they own every car that can, stay within 10 seconds of pole time. So, yeah, ARCA, what a shit show.
Well, I did go to the truck race, though.
Nice.
And, I mean, I don't know what there really is to say about that. The Carson Quapple had a pretty good little truck debut, I thought.
Yeah, not bad at all.
He finished the race. The kid with the Outback sponsorship, however, I'm pretty sure I saw him get lapped at least 74 times in that race.
Yeah.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Well, hey, it was a good social media story, so that's all that counts.
Yeah. That's what racing's all about.
All that counts. So.
Yep.
Boom. So who are you with? I know you had your buddy from Nashville. You were there with a legend.
God damn.
Is that your cat?
Beastie Boys again?
Yeah. Nah, just this fucking stupid phone. I'm an idiot. Don't know how to use it. Anyways, trying to get to the notes.
So you're there with racing celebrity, America's photographer.
Yeah, I met up with my buddy Andy Newsom, who we'll have to get on the show sometime, but he couldn't come on the show today because it's his birthday.
It is his birthday. Happy birthday, buddy.
Go get shithoused.
It's a good excuse.
But yeah, Andy is truly the best person to go to a race with because he will make friends with a lamppost. There is just no stopping that man when it comes to making friends at a racetrack. So, and he's a wild time.
Yeah, I that was true. Meeting him last year, he was a good dude to watch the race with, for sure.
Yeah, I met him very, very briefly in person. We've interacted online and all that, and we had definitely a bunch of mutual friends, you guys included in that number. And I met him while he was working, taking photos at the World Finals last year, and just exactly how you described, just so friendly, such a good guy. Like, you want to sit there and drink beers with him, and I probably tried to hand him a beer like four or five times, but he was too busy working to help me out. But I look forward to the opportunity to experience what you did over the weekend here at Bristol, which back into that, I guess. So the truck race was kind of whatever?
Yeah, I mean, it was whatever. It was fun at the end watching Corey Heim catch Eckes and pass him, I guess. You know, I don't give a shit about either one of those drivers, but
the thing I want to know about, and it's something that was all over social media, and we noticed it on the calendar of events for Friday, was a foam party out in the fan zone.
Yes.
And you made it to that, didn't you?
So after the race, they opened up the track first so that everyone could go down and just mingle on the track and, you know, sign your name and take your picture. And I saw some drunk people trying to roll down the front stretch, which is, you know, the flattest part. But afterwards, we went outside to the fan zone, and there was a gigantic foam party. And I did not get in the foam because I did not want to get my boots wet.
You know, if you had your bootleg Crocs on, you could have had so much fun. You could have got right in there with Bob Pockris. And nope, you just had to watch from the sidelines.
Yeah, this is...
I wasn't going to tote in my knockoff Crocs to the truck race.
You don't tote them in. You put them on and wear them. That's why.
Wearing those in public.
What else are they for?
They're for the shower barn at Farmer Bob's.
Oh, there's a shower barn there?
A shower barn. It was a literal barn.
That's pretty cool.
And spiders.
Well, I hate to say I'm not mad. I am disappointed, though.
No, that's fine. You can be disappointed. But Andy got in the foam party way deep. It's probably, bless his heart, the first bath he's had in who knows how long. I'm not entirely sure if he's ever washed the jeans or the vest that he wears. So
no,
he needed a deep dive at that foam party. But while he was up to his neck in foam, he somehow managed to find a jar of moonshine buried in the foam. So he came
no shit.
Running back with a jar of moonshine.
Oh, man, that must have been like Christmas Day for that
That's
guy.
That's incredible.
Yeah. There wasn't much left in it, but he drank whatever was in it.
Do you have any?
No, I just watched him chug.
Chug mystery foam moonshine off the ground.
What kind of fucking American folktale shit is that? Oh my god, that's incredible.
Yeah. So after the foam party, we hopped on some golf carts and had some golf cart races back to the campground. We found the pile of dirt where they keep Bristol dirt, which is no longer. So
now it's just a permanent
for a minute
pile of dirt.
Yeah, it's just a sad pile of dirt. And then went back to the campground and partied there for a while. That was the hardest night of partying. We kind of took it easy the rest of the rest of the trip.
It's usually how it goes.
Yeah. So yeah, that was Thursday.
Oh, that's right. It's Thursday. I forgot that the weekend. The weekend always fucks
Friday
me up.
All week, yeah. It really does fuck me up.
So how hungover were you on Friday morning? Pretty good?
I was pretty good. I chugged a couple bottles of water with some liquid IV poured in it.
That's it, yeah.
Before bed. So I woke up feeling pretty average.
Normal terrible.
Just normal elderly terrible. Let's see. Friday, went and hit up the gypsy tents.
There's a bunch of them at Bristol, right?
There are. But it's kind of just the same shit in every tent.
I saw a few dudes. My buddy Bobby, he said he got like $700 worth of stuff, and you know, again, he's on the same sort of level that I am, but he normally doesn't look that hard. I told him Bristol's really good for tents. Like the one year we went, like even for the dirt race, they're pretty good. I found a good amount of stuff, but you gotta dig hard at those things. That's the only problem.
There were a few that were good for sure, but I went to Bristol broke, so I wasn't about to.
Yeah, you were looking for the 85-cent Joe Nemechek diecasts.
Right?
Yeah, that was the tip top of the budget.
Yeah, the best tent we found was run by these two ladies. I think they had the best stuff, but she had a table full of men's khaki slacks that all of them had I think it was the, like, the back pocket maybe, had a picture of Dale Earnhardt's car and the legend embroidered really shittily.
Hell yeah.
Pleated? They're pleated?
I think they might have been pleated.
Or they're casual.
She was trying to convince me to buy a pair and cut them into Daisy Dukes. I was like, these are like a men's.
Yeah. The widest Daisy Dukes.
No, ma'am.
Like a paper IGA sack.
Yeah. So.
Well, how much? Well, we can't abandon this yet. How much were the slacks?
They were only $3 a pair.
Oh, come on! What are you doing?
Within budget.
What am I going to do with it, though?
Like, make Daisy Dukes out of them, like the lady said. Get those fucking things out of her life.
No, did you at least take like a picture of them?
Oh, yeah, I took a picture. Don't worry.
You gotta send that to us. I want to see that.
Oh, it'll make it in the post, don't worry. They look like they had been like in storage for 30 years, and if you washed them, they were definitely going to disintegrate.
You still, I would have bought at least one or two pairs because somebody out there.
I wasn't about to carry around a pair of khaki slacks all day. Yeah,
well, if you're not going to wear your Crocs in, you're certainly not going to carry a pair of Hagar, a pair of Chris Bells, if you will, around the racetrack. So,
absolutely not.
So besides the gypsy tents, did you get into Bristol or Kingsport or any of that and see the town at all? Or I know there's some stuff to do around there.
Yeah. When me and Brian went to the dirt race last year, we explored Bristol a little bit. But
doesn't Mikey Waltrip have a...
Oh, yeah. We saw Mikey last year.
He was having a big party at his brewery this weekend because he's releasing a new beer called Talladega Lights.
It sounds like an overpriced version of beer that sucks. Can't wait.
Yeah. Apparently, some other people we know tried to go, and there was like a line.
Yeah.
A crazy line for it. So.
Yeah. Legend has it, if you squint hard enough in the foam, you can see Mikey out there groping around trying to find something.
No. Once the van was parked, we at the campground we stayed put for the weekend.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Yeah. Someone always gets left out in that situation when you leave the track, you know, because everyone else tends to, you know, your brain is already left, like, normal life, and it's just time to be as fucked up as possible. Maybe that's just me. I don't know, but I always feel bad for whoever has to drive around.
Yeah.
Because it ain't going to be me, that's for damn sure.
Also, Winston Cigarettes are back with NASCAR, kind of, sort of.
Really?
They had a whole activation area set up that said Winston Smoking Area, and it was, like, fenced off, but you could go inside of it and smoke your cigarettes, and you could also buy packs of Winston for $1 in there.
What the fuck?
Oh, fuck. Yeah. I am...
No way.
I could have made... You know how many people would have bought fucking shitty smokes from the race? I would have bought a pack myself.
I would have bought cigarettes because.
I would have bought a pack and smoked them all weekend just because they were $1. Like, fuck it. This is 1995 again, folks.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, it kind of puts that whole Winston Cup Museum thing into perspective, I guess. If they're... Well, didn't you say they were also at North Wilkesboro? They had, like, a minor presence?
They had some signage, yeah, that they were trying to promote. Some kind of promotion at Wilkesboro.
But yeah, so that's crazy. I didn't realize that cigarette companies could even do that. Yeah. So
they were set up directly next to the Zen booth where you could go in and sign up and buy little packs of Zen for $1 as well.
You can double up.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
Lots of tobacco happening.
As God intended.
Friday, after all the cigarettes, khaki pants, I went inside for Xfinity practice and qualifying to go see Dale Jr.
Right.
So I had, I guess, I call them hot pass, but I guess they're called VIP passes now. So I could watch from pit road.
Nice.
So just, you know, hung out down there and watched, just stood there and watched Dale Jr. like a, you know, monkey in a zoo or something. Watching him on TV. He did not look happy after practice whatsoever.
Well, he said he was visibly nervous. Like, everyone around him was like, yeah, man, we can tell you're fucking nervous this weekend. Yeah. So
he looked off. You could just tell that. Whatever, but I think after qualifying, he was fine.
Hey, he ran pretty well in the race.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did all right.
Until the unpleasantness, but, you know.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
And then after that was Cup qualifying practice.
Yeah.
Nothing special there. But I will say, I think one of my favorite paint schemes of the weekend in person was Justin Haley Mountain Dew scheme. God damn, that thing was
I'm cool. It was cool to see that back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. I had to make notes because, you know, trying to remember a full weekend at Bristol.
Yeah. So you're standing there down on pit road, and you're smoking cigarettes in your Dale khakis.
Oh, speaking of
and your Crocs.
Now that you mention it, I guess it was during Cup practice. We were just kind of sitting there on pit wall watching, you know, whatever. And we're down in front of the Live Fast Motorsports. I told you guys this in group chat, but down there at the Live Fast area where their team is, their hauler and team are. And then it's just a bunch of old dudes who are just sitting around, sitting on their tires, smoking cigarettes the entire practice session. They gave zero fucks as to whatever the 78 car was doing out there. Sitting there smoking those cigs for hours.
Just let BJ keep it out of the way.
That's cool as hell.
Yeah.
Especially being at BJ's team. And B, they probably are pretty annoyed because they realize probably half of them are out of a job next year. So like, yeah, fuck
it. I'm sure BJ can break them off a nice little severance.
Skull chain necklaces for everyone.
That's commemorative.
Oh god. Let's see.
So have you been to the spring? The fall asphalt race at Bristol with the next gen cars yet?
Yeah, I went last year.
That's right. Yeah.
Hey, you can just call it the fall race again now, bud.
The fall race. That's right. Yeah, because the dirt race is dead. The
night race. Yeah. Oh yeah, I guess the dirt was technically night.
Yeah, they ran it at like 9:30 on a fucking Sunday night. No wonder it failed. Jesus.
I don't know who's going to go to that spring daytime concrete.
I think
race.
I might now, because that drive wasn't too bad, and tickets won't be too hard to get, so I might check it out.
I feel very much like this is just them edging towards Bristol going to one date. Which
it's possible.
I kind of feel like maybe there should only be one date at most tracks anyway. As sacrilegious as that may be, I'd like to see them add more short tracks to the equation once they get the car figured out.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I don't know. I thought the race itself was pretty good. I guess we're inching towards that, and we can talk about it then. But, I'm not going to miss the dirt race. Did they announce that while you were there? Did they make Kenny Wallace deliver the bad news up there? On the?
I was in the gypsy tents when the news broke. And so,
was there like a big loud hooting and hollering session for everybody out there?
There was a lot of cheering when I heard people finding out. I was like,
in the distance. Yeah.
There were some woos happening.
I really don't think there's a person who's going to be bummed to see that go, which is kind of a little bit weird to see, but also not weird to see, I don't think.
Yeah. Especially since like the novelty wore off of the other events leading into it. I really liked how the dirt race for at least 1 year really became a giant bridge from the short track dirt world all the way to the Cup Series. You know, seeing a bunch of sprint car races and late models and street stocks and just fucking everything out there for a full month before the big boys show up, the Cup Series. I thought that was cool. And I feel like that was sort of not a missed opportunity, because clearly like they did that again, the big short track program for a few weeks. And I think they ended up canceling a lot of it because it just wasn't well attended. I don't know. Like, the novelty wore off quick for the actual dirt racers as well. So, but I don't know. I thought that was cool to see, like, kind of everything in one place being showcased. But yeah, I won't necessarily miss it.
Yeah, I mean, I got to see it in person once, so I guess I'm good.
Yeah,
same.
So yeah, the Xfinity race happened.
Mm-hmm.
This was one of the main reasons that I wanted to go this weekend, was just, you know, see Dale Jr. race, because, you know, he runs an Xfinity race like once a year since he's retired, and I haven't gotten to go to any of those yet. So to see him run at Bristol, I was like, okay.
I think I saw him at Darlington a couple of years ago. Pretty sure I did. He raced one of the throwback races. I want to say he got a top 10 or something out of it.
So yeah, there was definitely, you know, a huge crowd around him pre-race. I'm sure y'all saw the pictures of him with his daughters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Standing around the car. So that was cool. I got to, you know, I snuck over pit wall and went and kind of stood in that mob. I lost my place in my notes. So yeah, I was just kind of taking all that in. But he qualified right next to Riley Herbst. So Riley Herbst's car is right there, and his car comes with two Monster Energy girls standing out in front of the car the entire, like, their job is to stand in front of his car with a huge smile on their face for the 30 minutes straight or whatever the pre-race. But Dale Jr. is set up right next to them, and there's a huge mob, and there was one girl ruined every fucking picture that I tried to take. It's just her smiling ass in her Monster Energy suit. So annoyed. I was so annoyed.
Did you get a picture with Riley Herbst at least? And the girls?
No, fuck him. Yeah. Ruined all my damn pictures.
Did you watch the Xfinity race from down in the garage area, or were you up in the stands for that?
I typically, when I'm down there, I'll watch like the beginning of the race, and then I'll go up top and watch, and then the last 100 laps, I'll go back down.
Yeah, I mean, you've been down there for races before in the pits at Bristol, right? Yeah. This wasn't your first time. How
you can
intense?
Only see, like,
yeah, can you even see anything from down there?
Wherever you're standing, you can see that little blip, and then you have to turn and look at the big screen for the rest of the lap, and then turn back. It's a lot of turning back and forth and watching on the big screen.
I imagine the banking is pretty intense in person from down there, though, just to see what it's actually a wall. Like, a wall of concrete.
If you go down in the turns, it's like straight up. It's insane in the turns.
Yeah, I've been down in the infield at Nashville before, and that was the fairgrounds, and that is pretty steep too. I don't know if it's as steep as Bristol, but you know, that's what I was thinking. I was like, Jesus, if that's what this is like, then I can't imagine what Bristol looks like.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. But, you know, it's a cool experience. But also, like, going up in the grandstands and watching Dale Jr. lead laps at Bristol, that crowd was losing its mind.
Yeah, I bet.
Like, I don't know how I expected Dale Jr. to do that day, but having him lead laps wasn't really something that I went in expecting.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's run like, you know, top 20, top 10 pretty much every time he runs one of these races. So yeah, I wasn't necessarily expecting him to run that fast either. It was very cool to see. I was kind of distracted. I had stuff going on all weekend, but I had the race on my phone, and I was just like, all of a sudden, like, holy shit, Dale Jr. is leading, and he's leading for a while. And then all of a sudden, again, I was, you know, doing other stuff, and I looked down, I was like, wait, why is he getting out of the car and all that stuff? And it was very confusing not being able to listen to anything.
Damn leg caught on fire.
Yeah. So when he caught on fire, like, we had already went back down in the pits because we were like, oh, well, shit, what if he wins? We got to be down there or, you know, whatever. So we went down there and we're watching. We found an empty pit stall from one of the teams that had wrecked and moved their shit out. Right there on the front stretch. And, you know, we're watching a little bit, and we'll look up at the screen. Watch a little bit, look up at the screen. And I look up at the screen, And Dale Jr. is pulling into the pits. I was like, what? What the fuck kind of pit strategy is this? It's the end of the race. What is he doing? And I didn't realize that he had pulled in on fire, like, 10 pit stalls down from it, because I'm looking up at the screen going, what the fuck is he doing? So once I realized that his car was right down there, he had already gotten out or whatever. But they pushed his car by me afterwards, and it was just full of that, you know, fire extinguisher shit or whatever. And then they parked it right behind me outside the JRM haulers, and yeah, it was a sad sight. So Allgaier won. That was a huge celebration. I was like, is this some kind of special victory number or something for him? Like, the celebration felt like over the top for a typical.
It did feel different. Yeah, it definitely. Yeah. He was like calling for his kids to get down there. He wanted his whole family to be there.
Yeah, I saw the wife and the kids running by me, and then. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to walk down to the ramp that they pull up for Victory Lane. I'm going to stand there. I'll watch him pull up the ramp. It's like, you know, there's something to do before we leave. And I didn't think about the fact that Dale Jr. was in the Infield Care Center, which is right there underneath Victory Lane.
Yeah.
So he comes out, and you could see the burn marks on his fire suit. They're very visible. And he gets mobbed by a bunch of, that's something I've meant to mention earlier too. Anytime a driver walked by, there was always the same mob of people that were like autograph hounds.
Ugh.
Every single time for every driver. It's just like, Jesus Christ. But anyway, the man just literally caught on fire and is walking out of the hospital, and he's getting mobbed by tons of people. But Jesus. He's Dale Jr., so of course he was polite and signing shit. But he's standing around waiting up on the ramp forever for Allgaier. Like, what, you know, where is this guy? What the fuck's he doing?
Yeah.
Because he was taking
moving along.
Yeah, he's like, my leg was just on fire. I'd like to, you know, get out of here. So then he takes off running again, disappears. I was like, all right. And then he comes back, and that's when he was riding in the window with Allgaier. So getting to see him drive right by me doing that was cool, too.
That's
so
awesome.
Just a all-around wholesome Dale Jr. day for me.
Now, there was no foam on Friday night, right?
No.
Foam was just
Tim
the thirst.
Tim Duggar on Friday night.
That's not nearly as good.
I've seen that man play far too many times.
Yeah, he was out there in the foam, too, I bet. Just lost.
Until Andy found him.
Yeah, that's where he got the moonshine from. Yeah. How much, at this point in the weekend, how much bologna had you eaten?
Zero bologna at this point. I was surviving off a diet of hot dogs.
There you go.
Yeah. Hot dogs and Wonder Bread.
Hell yeah.
We got to get hot dog buns.
That old white bread works just fine.
Yeah. It's sucked up the beers just fine.
It is like an old shop rag, you know? That Wonder Bread. Wonder Bread's different from white bread, man. I'm telling you, it's like extra spongy, and yeah, that's perfect for sopping up grease and cold beer and whatever.
Yeah. Saturday morning was when the boys broke out the barbecue bologna.
The good stuff.
That's what I was.
So yeah, you sent a photo of that stack, and I gotta be honest, it made me hungry.
And see, I thought it was the most unappetizing thing I've seen all week.
Yeah.
There is nothing. Well, maybe not nothing, but it is incredibly delicious. A fried bologna sandwich. Get that shit on some cast iron or whatever the fuck you want. Heat it on both sides.
That wasn't fried, Rob. That was just fucking warm.
It was fried.
Oh, I couldn't tell. It was slathered in so much fucking barbecue sauce. It just didn't look cooked enough to me. Then I'll say that. I feel like it should see a little more char to it.
The cook temp was hidden by the amount of barbecue sauce on it.
I mean, fried bologna's okay. It's okay.
I don't know. I was sitting there, and me and my buddy Josh were sharing a can of Treat. I don't know if y'all know what that is.
That's what it's called. Treat. Yeah. I was trying to
remember
what Armor,
it is.
The Armor brand potted meat. It's like Spam, but different.
Yeah. So we're sitting there sharing a nice can of treat.
Treat. T-R-E-E-T for the folks at home.
Salty deliciousness. Anyway, Dave's standing over there frying up bologna for God knows how long. Finally, he brings the plate down to, you know, my field of vision. And he had dumped an entire, it looked like an entire bottle of barbecue sauce on top of it. That's what killed it for me, was it was too much sauce. Like,
yeah,
nothing besides maybe a rack of ribs.
See,
that much sauce.
Yeah, I'm a mustard or like a Miracle Whip mayo kind of guy. Yeah.
Listen, it's
with
it's
the fried
just
bologna.
It's a floppy little, just fucking, you know, shake it out like a towel or something. Just that's all you had to do.
Could have used them, should have bought them khakis and wiped it right off. There you go. You remove as much sauce as you want with the pleats.
Yeah. He was the only one eating it.
With them legs you cut off.
A couple slices, and then it sat there and I watched it collect flies.
It's all the barbecue sauce. Did he make Four Loko eggs? I know Andy has made Four Loko eggs in the past.
He did not make Four Loko eggs. I did watch him drink a couple cans of Four Loko for breakfast, but
yeah,
no eggs this time.
That's a shame.
I also watched him. He brought little Jell-O snack cups with him, and I watched him squish up a cup of Jell-O and pour a mini bottle of vodka in it and try to turn that into a Jell-O shot and just get Jell-O all down his beard, all down his bare chest, and he just went about his life for the rest of the day covered in Jell-O.
That's awesome. So, that's a good idea. It ain't quite like a watermelon, you know, cutting a hole in it and dropping the bottle in there and letting that liquor seep in there, but same concept, I imagine.
I guess. I mean, he still got the alcohol part, so.
Yeah, still get drunk. So you guys ate Jell-O all afternoon.
Yeah, Jell-O and barbecue bologna.
Hell yeah. Did you guys get anything else before the race, or you just kind of pace yourselves waiting for the big event?
Yeah, I was definitely pacing myself because, yeah, there was potential rain on the radar, so.
Yeah, that's what you brought the Crocs for.
Yeah, wasn't sure if it's going to be a long night or not.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think we went over to the track around, like, 3-ish. We were going to go ride the monster truck, because Andy had ridden it the day before, but I missed out on that somehow.
Damn.
But the line on Saturday for the monster truck was very long, and
it looked like there was a
broken at the time.
Oh. It looked like there was a shit ton of people there this year.
Yeah. So truck race is pretty empty. Pretty good crowd for Dale Jr. And then Saturday was fucking packed. Like, I couldn't even text people that were at the track to meet up with them. Text Damn. Wouldn't go through for like 30 minutes. It was a mess.
Crazy.
Yeah.
How upset were you when they got everybody out there on track and it started just drizzling? They moved the whole damn race up an hour.
They did. They moved it up an hour, and then I think it started at its regular the time it would have regularly started.
It did.
At.
Yeah, it absolutely yeah. did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, before that, Midland played a concert.
Oh,
so
shit.
That was something. Because last year it was Three Doors Down, so this was quite the upgrade, I felt.
Yeah, Midland's pretty good. I like them.
Yeah, they were pretty good. And I also got to see Joey Chestnut walking around with his hot dog belt.
Oh, hell yeah.
Shit.
I would have been real excited for that.
Yeah. I also, earlier in the day, caught a glimpse of him eating hot wings with Uncle Kenny, but I was in a hurry and couldn't stop to...
Yeah, you didn't stop off at the trackside live?
Much of that. Yeah.
Damn.
No.
Sounds like that was a huge success, and that's going to be coming back in an even greater capacity for the rest of the season and in years to come. So that's always fun.
That's good. Good for Uncle Kenny.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you were saying, like, we found a good little empty spot on pit wall before the race to stand, and right there on the grid, we were in between, like, Chase and Bubba's cars. So just, you know, stand there watching the drivers walk by, do their thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And they get the cars fired up, And as soon as they fired him up, the officials did their little hand motion and told him to cut the shit off again. So they did that probably, I felt like, 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
It was long enough for me to be able to actually make dinner. And I had chosen, I forget what I was doing that night because I had drank a little bit, but it was intensive, and I was mad at myself for putting so many steps so close to the start of a race, but then God shined on me and delayed it until I was done. So sorry about that, if that was me.
He did not shine on me. He sprinkled on me.
Yeah.
It was, like, in person, it was such, like, a little bitty baby sprinkle, too. Like, I never felt the need to seek shelter. It was, like, barely a miss, but, yeah. You know.
I feel like after NASCAR has just straight-up run people in the rain... In the past couple years, there was that incident at Loudon a couple years ago where Kyle Busch and Truex wrecked, and then when half the field wrecked and they gave Austin Dillon a spot in the playoffs as a result. I feel like they got to be super fucking careful with that.
Yeah.
Because I've seen him run in the rain, too. Like, that year at Loudon when they kept him green and then Kyle wrecked and he tried to wreck the pace car after that, it was pouring. It was, like, straight up raining, and they didn't stop the race, so... I would imagine they're trying to be a little bit more careful.
Yeah. We'll say before the race, while they were doing this off and on business for a while, we were standing directly in front of Bubba's car, and I was with my buddy Clayton, and we're both big Bubba fans, and so one of the times when they fired up, Clayton like threw a thumbs up at Bubba, and we're standing next to one of Bubba's crew guys. And Bubba comes over the radio to that crew guy and says, tell that guy standing next to you, he's talking about my friend Clayton, that he looks exactly like Carlos Sands, the F1 driver. I never thought of it before, but he looks exactly...
Looks like Carlos Sands.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Oh, God. Spot on. So that was... Oh, that kind of made my day right there, but... After they finally got started, we went up to 3 and 4 and met up with some friends and drank beers for most of the race. So y'all will have to probably talk about more details of the race because it's, you know, when you're sitting in the grandstands.
Yeah. Did you have a scanner on?
No, my buddy Clayton did, but I was just kind of...
Freeballing it,
watching the big screen.
Damn. That's a tough place to do that. That's a hard race to keep track of.
Yeah. I guess a lot of the times I thought at one point I was like, man, I thought that Chase was passing Josevar because he was a lap car, but turns out Josevar was running like, what, 7th or something?
He ran as high as 5th for a little while. He was in the top 5 for like, a few laps, and he stayed there.
Yeah, I thought he was
there.
Like a lap car.
And, I mean, I think it was a combination of pit strategy as well as passing being difficult for most people that kind of locked him in there. But, I mean, we haven't seen anybody else do that this year in that car. So this is the third straight top 20.
Jones did very good this week.
No, he was up in the mix, too. I think he finished a little bit behind Josevar, but he was there or thereabouts with him. Definitely some improvement coming from the legacy guys. But yeah, Carson was definitely the star of the show there, mixing it up and racing hard and maintaining his position in a very tough field where you really couldn't do a... Well, I guess it depends on who you are. Larson made his way all the way from the back up to the front and couldn't quite chase down Denny Hamlin. And there are some other guys. Ryan Preece gained about, I don't know, 15 positions and all that, almost got a top 10. A lot of big performances. And then, of course, Bubba, he worked his way through.
Yeah, he kept it clean when some other drivers...
And Corey LaJoie completely took out...
The reigning champ.
The reigning champion.
I can't say I was mad about that.
I was, like I said, I had a wrestling thing all weekend. I had friends in from out of town. I was not able to watch that closely, but I did have it on, and I did, again, same sort of level of surprise, but in a much different way as the night before when Dale Jr. was leading. I was like, Corey LaJoie is fucking leading? What
That's
is
right.
happening
He
here?
Controlled the race for a little while.
That's right. I was like, what is this nightmare?
But hey, that's what he's good for. You know, once in a while they get that car set up to his liking, or it's a place that Corey likes, and he'll go out there and put a show on. And he did that for a little while, and then until he didn't, and forgot to fucking hold his brake and completely wiped out half the field. So
I have a feeling. So with Hosovar coming into that team next year, I have a feeling that this is when we'll see what Spire really has. Because I mean, Corey's clearly made some improvements, but I'm gonna say Carson's immediately gonna outshine him as soon as he's in the car next year. So,
well, it's you got Zane Smith coming in, which is
wait. Hold on a second. I thought I got my shit all fucked up. Okay, I thought Hosovar already had a rider. He does not have one.
No, so he's been connected to the 77, which is Ty Dillon's little Ty Dillon's ride.
That's right. Okay, so
I don't know why I feel the need to just diminish him every time by calling him little Ty Dillon, but I'm going to continue to do so.
Okay, so he's not technically in the car yet, but we're pretty sure he's
going to
be.
That has not been announced, but that's been floated for a long time that he is going to Spire. And then, of course, Zane Smith making a big announcement along with, Trackhouse and Spire in tandem. Spire spending $40 million and making BJ McLeod and Matt Tift very rich men in the process. Like you said, skull necklaces all around for the boys.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still a little confused about the Spire money, it's like a Rick Ware thing almost.
Well, they have backing from Gamebridge, which is a huge company. There's also rumors of Michael Andretti and his squad involved with that. Gamebridge is a company they're deeply ingrained with. They sponsor the IndyCar program. Gamebridge has also been putting their logos on Corey LaJoie and Ty Dillon from time to time over there. I think they even had a car at the. I think Ty Dillon was running their colors at Bristol, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But who would know? Sorry, Ty.
He's the only villain that I like.
Yes, the redeemable villain.
Yeah, that's true. Sadly,
doesn't run too much worse than his brother, but it's a whole half the fucking garage is involved in that deal because you know Zane Smith, of course, is signed by Trackhouse. It's not a development deal. He's just a Trackhouse driver that is driving for Spire. So you fucking do the math on that one for me. And then at some point, I imagine he'll move up to the big squad, and there's definitely an alliance happening between Spire and Trackhouse. So interesting business shit happening right now.
And to piggyback off that, so I listened to Justin Haley on Junior's podcast today, and they got into the whole Rick Ware deal, and basically they talked about how more or less Keselowski was the one who okayed that deal happening. Like, it's weird. Like, Rick Ware's shop is part of the RFK campus.
Yep.
And, whatever deal they have between the two teams, like, Justin getting hired, had to be okayed by Brad. And, Justin met at RFK, and, Brad was there, and everybody, I don't... Again, it's... To talk about the rumors of, you know... Rick Ware being a feeder system to RFK, and that's kind of, he didn't allude to that so much, maybe hinted at it.
Certainly what that sounds like.
But it was interesting, and yeah, definitely I can totally understand now why Haley took that ride, because, you know, he was the collie guy forever, and you know, he just wanted a new change, and you know, even though he was there forever, it didn't feel like he was the guy the team was being built around, so I get it. And now this is his chance to have that role.
Yeah, absolutely. And with Roush kind of on the up and coming side of things, both of those cars running very, very well at Bristol, or at least Chris Buescher anyway.
It's could be his time. I'm excited to see it because I kind of like Haley, so I'm interested to see.
Me too. I've learned to like Justin Haley as well. Begrudgingly.
Also, in person, after sitting there watching drivers walk by all weekend, he is the tiniest driver in the field.
He's a little boy.
Stature and weight wise, I think he's smaller than me.
And
tiny.
Another fact I learned about him: his fiance's name is Haley, and she's changing her name to Haley Haley.
That's something.
Yeah.
Together they're about 6.5 feet tall. You line them up. I think she's a normal-sized human, if I remember correctly. But yeah, that was pretty much the talk of outside of the track over the weekend was Zane Smith and again BJ McLeod being a fucking millionaire now.
See, God, I want to get
bless that guy. Holy shit, those Xfinity cars better be getting poles every single weekend now.
Yeah, I really hope he succeeds next year.
Or he just goes and buys a fucking bass boat and chills and, like, you know, hangs out with the Shinedown dudes. Whatever the fuck it is he wants to do. That's all. I just want my man to be happy.
Follows Korn on tour.
Seriously, like, whatever his dreams are, I hope he's able to make them come true with that chunk of change. Mm-hmm.
Didn't Denny only, I would say only, pay like $11 million for the charter he bought?
For both charters, I think they paid somewhere in the $20 to $25 million range. Okay, for both.
For two charters.
Yeah, I think the Tyler Reddick's charter was something like 15 or 16 or something like that, and the other one was a little less, but yeah, two charters for not even close to $40 million, which sounds to me like somebody just went to BJ and was just like, hey, what would you want for it? And he just, like, threw a terrible number at him just in case, and they just said, okay. And then now he's a rich man.
Well, no, I don't know about that. So I think part of it has to do with the new TV deal also. And, like, there's definitely, I'm sure behind the scenes it's been talked about how, you know, the charter system is changing and the TV deal is supposed to bring more equity to the team owners and all that stuff. But like other people pointed out, the charter system isn't even set to, I think it's supposed to expire after next year. So yeah, it's like, what the fuck's going to happen? Like that investment could theoretically go poof. I don't think it will, but I mean, yeah, theoretically.
I don't think car owners are going to let that investment go away necessarily, because I mean, look what happens. Like, in the days before the charter system, as, you know, sort of backwards for the growth of the sport that I think it kind of is, it doesn't allow anybody other than, you know, billionaires to come in, which maybe that's what NASCAR wants. But anyway, like, you know, before, like, when a guy like Ricky Rudd would shut his team down, he would lose his ass on it.
Yeah.
You make pennies on the dollar on parts, cars, tools, the building, whatever the fuck else you needed to. You know, these guys lost millions and millions of dollars, and now you actually have some equity. So I think even guys who don't want to sell, you know, they kind of see that as, you know, hey, if I ever need a quick cash injection, I'll just sell one of these fuckers for now $40 million, which is a huge, huge amount of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. For NASCAR in particular. But, yeah. Good for BJ. Again, he was running around in 35th place all day with a goddamn smile on his face and a fat-ass check in his breast pocket, I'm sure. I don't think he cared one bit.
one of the extra-large back pockets in his jeans.
Exactly. He's got them Dale jeans, the Dale khakis on.
So that was our brief NASCAR news interlude. Let's get back to the end of the race here, and I guess Denny's celebration, I think, is really, they're all,
yeah,
all
I gotta know about. Like, they definitely turned the crowd mics up on the broadcast for the booing.
Yeah,
how loud was that in person?
It was, you know, just a sea of boos. Okay, so Andy is a diehard Denny Hamlin fan, but I wasn't with him at the moment. He was up in the grandstands. I was down in the pits. So I'm sure he was having a gay old time up there.
Yeah.
But no one else I know was enjoying.
Well, that was my thought when it happened, you know. It was like, well, at least Andy's probably happy right now.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
at least there's that.
Birthday weekend, whatever. Yeah. Happy birthday, Andy. Every time I go to a fucking race with Andy Hamlin wins, so I'm going to stop going to races with Andy.
Just period.
I guess I want to talk about the infamous line that he delivered and just how strange of a guy Denny is. Like, he's so fucking weird.
I didn't hear the line in the moment because I was, by that time, I was like, fuck this, and I was distracted with other shit, but I heard it afterwards on social media.
I think it was a great line, but he delivered it in such an awkward way where he just, it didn't sound necessarily natural, and just kind of like, it was definitely one of those things that he probably, I don't know if he planned it or
he probably did.
He loves to talk shit, so it's very clear that he was gonna gloat or do something like that, but maybe it was just a momentary thing where he decided to say, I just beat everybody.
I get the feeling he, even though he is embracing the hatred at the moment, I get the feeling he doesn't necessarily like not being liked. And especially to that level where...
I get the feeling that he deep down cannot stand it. It like eats at him,
but he's so
put on this facade.
Yeah, he's doing a fine job at it. But you know, Kyle Busch, for example, that guy does not mind being the asshole.
No,
that was going to be my point. Yeah. Is he like? It's funny because Dale Jr. on his show, he made the of course the wrestler analogy, like, you know, Denny doing the heel move thing, and again it was, but who's the more natural one? Absolutely Kyle Busch, 100%. He played the role. He plays up to the crowd. He basically tells people to fuck off, and you can tell he does not care. And yeah, I can kind of see where you guys are coming from with that. You know, Denny says he doesn't care, but I think he cares a little bit.
Desperately wants to be liked so bad, but he can tell that it's just never going to be in the cards for him now. So
no.
I will say I
weeps. He weeps alone in scooters.
Yeah, that poor girl rubbing up on him after shit's all said and done, up in the VIP room.
I hate to say,
I did a good job. Why don't they like me?
I hate to say that I'm starting to believe this whole "it's my year" hype that he's been building most of the season, but he had a very strong first round, and he knows what to do the rest of the playoffs. It's just a matter of can he pull it off, but we'll see. I think especially after, you know, Truex kind of imploding a little bit, and we can get right into some Truex news in a second. You know, I would as a fan, I want to see either Busch or Reddick take it.
Same.
I would not be shocked to see Denny win.
The championship, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess Larson could pull it off, but he's just been too wishy-washy all year. He either does really well or he just has a shit run.
What, he has like a 2.3 average finish for the first round of the playoffs, which is fucking nuts. So right now, definitely Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson are the two guys that are, you know, as far as I'm concerned, are, you know, I'd be very shocked if they did not make it to Phoenix. I'm still going to include Martin Truex in that number. They've had too good of a year. I think they've used up their bad luck, perhaps. They certainly can't have any more bad weekends after this. Mm-hmm. And they are running into a series of tracks where he does do okay at. He's not great at plate racing, but he's good at road courses, and he's also pretty handy on the mile and a half. So I wouldn't be – but then, of course, so are Denny Hamlin and Kyle Larson. So I don't know. Yeah. It's a tall order, but I think he's back on top of the points now with the reset somehow.
He's got some stuff in his personal life that might be a distraction.
Yeah, that's for sure. I guess we can just jump into that real quick. Of course, the saddest news of the weekend, of course, was the death of Sherry Pollux. It was Martin Truex's former girlfriend. They did a lot of work, and her in particular did a lot of work with their cancer foundation, and she sadly succumbed to ovarian cancer over the weekend. She was 44, so young, and such a positive influence, and yeah. That's such a bummer. I don't think anybody was, you know, I think everybody was pretty gutted about that. You know, sometimes people pass and it's always sad, but this one really seemed to have an effect on the garage area, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can tell she's definitely very loved and respected throughout the garage.
And rightfully so. And right up until the end, she was doing work with the charity as well. So,
But, unfortunately, there was a little bit of, you know, a sideshow as part of all this, when Danica Patrick decided to butt in and
live from Burning Man.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, yeah.
Still walking out of there right now.
Burning, all right.
Yeah. So, not to defend Danica at all, because she really, there's almost no defense.
It's indefensible. Like,
yeah, there's no defense.
Woman ain't been dead 24 hours yet, and you're firing that kind of shit off. And again, I know she was, I think she was seemingly pretty tight with Cherry Pollux.
Yes.
So I understand everyone reacts in their own way, but this was just fucking it.
My whole thing was like they kept that relationship pretty private. The whole breakup was private, and you know, as it should be. That's their business, and yeah. For all intents and purposes, Danica is probably closer to this than about 98% of people involved in NASCAR.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can understand, but yeah, use some fucking tact. Like,
yeah.
You know, talk about it in a few weeks on your fucking podcast if you want, but don't be posting that shit while the woman's not even in the ground
yet.
You know?
Yeah, I much prefer the fucking the QAnon Gwyneth Paltrow thing to whatever that was on Instagram.
Tantric yoga or whatever.
Yeah.
Aliens coming down. Just
let's talk
stick
about
with what
that
you know,
shit.
Woman.
Yeah. And who knows? I don't know. Like, maybe Martin Truex isn't the greatest guy either. We don't know. We have no fucking idea. It's none of our fucking business.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And everyone grieves in their own way. Yeah. You know, and I'll be honest, when I read Martin's statement too, it's like very obviously it's a PR thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I really don't want to spend too much more time talking about this just because of what it is. But yeah, don't do that, people. maybe in those situations, just take a deep fucking breath before you hit send on that. But I will say she never deleted that. So kudos to her for leaving that shit up for the full 24 hours and just moving on like it never happened. So.
Yeah, I don't. She strikes me as someone who does not look at comments at all.
No. Like,
just whatever she puts out there, that's it, and does not give a fuck about
it. She gave that up when she was still an IndyCar driver, probably. Yeah.
So, yeah, let's see here. On to some better news. Matty D got dumped.
Speaking
from
of people
his...
who don't drive in NASCAR anymore.
Yeah. Matt D. Benedetto was, graciously relieved from his Truck Series ride after failing to make the next round of the playoffs. Also, after just about a month ago publicly declaring that he was leaving the team.
Seemed pretty excited to be on his way out, huh?
Yeah, didn't have anything lined up.
Playoffs.
Still doesn't have anything lined up. Again, this horrible time to make that announcement, but still managed to try to play the victim card on social media after the fact, so disappointed that he doesn't get to finish out the season for his fans and the team. Well, motherfucker, maybe if you kept your mouth shut like you should have done so many fucking times over the last couple of years, people would maybe actually have some deserved sympathy for you. But instead, you continue to be a fucking jackass and wonder why people don't continue to support you.
I didn't think it was that bad, but I feel like people would have looked on it a little differently and a little less harshly if there wasn't a track record of him kind of putting his foot in his mouth about his relationship with teams and his plans and just writing checks that he can't cash. You know, that seems to be kind of a pretty common deal, and you got to wonder if, and there's no, I'll die on this hill. There's no shortage of talent with him. He can definitely handle himself out there. You know, he had some big runs in the 95. He didn't do so hot at the Wood Brothers, which is supposed to be his big break, and then he talked shit and got fired from that, and, now we're where we are. But there was a period of time where, I'm sorry, you don't get fucking sixth place in a BK racing car at Bristol without having some kind of talent involved. And that's why he got those opportunities, and, I think he's certainly not talentless, and I would say that he deserves his place out there more than about half the Truck Series field, but, yeah.
But he is on a goodwill deficit right now.
Yes, that's a great way to put it.
So, that's where that whole argument lies.
And the goodwill tour apparently comes to a stop at Bristol, so.
Yep.
Once you badmouth the Wood Brothers, you're dead to me.
Yeah. And also, that's Roger Penske pulling those little puppet strings, too. And
but still.
That's not a guy you really want to, That just kind of burns your bridges with Ford, There's three companies that make engines in this series, and half of them are Fords. So you might want to be nice. But I don't know.
All right. Well, last couple little...
drive an ASA race in Toledo with Noah Gregson.
Yeah. I wonder if Noah's going to take over that Rackley truck, because they've gotten some big dogs in there. Chase Elliott's driven that truck before. Yeah. They brought cup drivers in before, so I figure if Noah's looking for something to do, he's reinstated. He knows how to drive a truck. It's a Chevrolet, so, why not?
That's
true. I mean, yeah, anything he can do to to impress somebody to get a ride for 2024. Yeah. Unless he already has one. We don't know that yet.
And all the other Ackley drivers in the late model program are like 7 years old. So
he's got
yeah, Gavin Bushell's like in fourth or fifth grade or something like that.
He's got some lead time then. So that's good.
He won't be in the truck series for a while.
So let's just wrap up the NASCAR news here before we get to the last section of the show here. Road America's dumped for 2024, yep. And other schedule news, which is I always kind of want to make it out there, even though the racing itself was hit or miss. But from what everybody has said about that place, it's an amazing facility, and yep. It got a crowd. So it's wild for NASCAR to dump that.
Well, it sounds to me, I mean, 2024 is an Olympic year. So it sounds to me like the breaks that NBC is going to have to take in its coverage might have had something to do with it being dropped from the schedule because they couldn't fit it in. So it is a popular event, you know? Yeah. It's a big deal, especially for the Xfinity series. But they're even talking about on an XM this morning that this was likely the reason why it's not on the schedule, and you can probably expect it back in the future. Now, nothing's promised, but, you know, that was a great racetrack for at least some series to go to, and I don't think that this will be the last you see of it.
All right, well, that's a little bit of relief. Cool. So, and then Lane Riggs. Who the fuck's Lane Riggs?
Lane Riggs, late model guy getting a ride with Kaulig. I guess he was one of the secret announcements that Kaulig was waiting to make. He's in the Cars Tour, doing a good job out there, and he'll be making his Xfinity Series debut on the last three races of the year, I believe. So congratulations to young Lane Riggs, who I think is also like 17 years old or some shit.
The only thing I can add to that is there was a very funny shitpost that I saw where someone made a post that said Alice in Chains frontman Lane Staley rises from the grave after 20 years to drive NASCAR Xfinity Series in 2024, and I thought that was very funny, very stupid. So
got a ride before Jeremy Mayfield did. So,
and now, Rob. So before we wrap up the show here, we got a section left, but no video of the week this week. Obviously, we're already an hour plus into this. So we're going to be changing things up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Next week, we're going to be watching the 1987 Winston 500. I'm going to be putting that on the YouTube playlist probably after the show. It's a full 3-something-hour race because this is... I've watched this before. The broadcast is amazing. There are so many ridiculous moments, insane commercials. This is a whole thing. Take your time. Pour through this whole
video. It really is a whole thing.
And, you got a whole week to watch this. And we're not going to watch along with it, but, you know. Check it out before we talk about it on the show. And we're going to try, you know, Rob's been wanting to do this for a minute, and hopefully I can keep up with the videos, to actually post the video before we talk about it and then talk about it the next week on the show.
Exactly. And we want to hear from you as well. And that's kind of one of the reasons I want to do this is because we want to interact with you, the listener out there. So you getting a chance to see the video, maybe you'll see something that we don't, or if you have any questions about it, we'd be happy to field or, you know, find someone else who might know the answer to something you might see in there. But this is all about connecting with you guys, and I think it'll be fun. So,
and also, too, feel free, if anybody ever has any videos that they'd like to submit, by all means, I'm happy to check them out, and if I feel like they'll be a good fit for the show, we'll throw them up there. So
absolutely.
So speaking of
fan interaction, though, we actually did get a really good submission from somebody this week. A guy named Albert Shivers wrote us, to the Gmail, in fact. So that's a change.
Didn't know we had one of those.
We do, and this man found it. Says, "Hey guys, big racing fan, love the podcast. Being that you guys are into vintage racing stuff, I like to share this old racing tune that I think you might like. It's called Hard Top Race by Merrill Moore. I'll throw the link here. Been down a rabbit hole, blah blah blah, looking for weird songs about racing. Keep the shows coming. Thanks a lot." So first off, thanks for listening, we appreciate it. And I checked this song out. It's actually pretty badass. It's kind of a little rockabilly old 50s honky tonk kind of song. I recommend it. I'll probably post a little clip of it at the end of the show. But it got me thinking about other racing songs and songs about motorsports, and there's really not that many of them.
Well, I mean, there was a smash hit in 1991 called Jerry Was a Race
Jerry
Car
Was
Driver.
A Race Car Driver.
There's probably the most famous
one. That's the
one
song that Brian's going to bring to the table. Fucking yeah. Primus fanatic over here.
Hey, listen, again, the song was called Jerry Was a Race Car Driver. It's been used in, I don't know, how many fucking NASCAR broadcasts. It was a fucking hit. That's deal true. With it.
I would say Fuel by Metallica is probably a racing song by now, just by virtue of being the NBC theme for like 600 years. But
in spirit, it is.
In spirit.
Yeah, for sure.
There's that Drive-By Truckers song called Daddy's Cup that I immediately thought of. That's probably, I listened to that record a lot, so that's probably why that one popped in my head. Of course, Fireball Roll to Seven by Dave Dudley, another old country trucking song. That's a good one about Fireball Roberts dying. what else is there? Alabama has 5 o'clock 500, which is all about being stuck in traffic, but they list a bunch of NASCAR drivers. That one's fun.
Charlie Daniels.
Richard Petty fans.
That's right.
Charlie Daniels wrote a song called The Intimidator after Dale Earnhardt died, obviously. I got to see that in person only a week before 9/11. So I have that to
can't
to
forget
back.
That.
Well, that's there was
how could you? Yeah,
that I'll never forget.
Charlie Daniels also did a Strokers theme.
That's true. That's true. And also, this is from the IndyCar world, which is this might be the only song about IndyCar ever written. It's called Speedway at Nazareth by Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits on one of his solo records. It's pretty cool.
That's cool. I like Dire Straits.
Yeah, me too. But if you, the listener, have any suggestions out there what we should check out, if you know any weird racing shit. By the way, I think we've talked about this on the show before, but all the NASCAR Sings records where the drivers actually take a turn at the mic, that's definitely worth the listen.
Gems on there.
Maybe do you still have a stockpile of those, Ashley?
I still have a few of those left. A few.
Okay, because
I got that on vinyl.
Well, yeah, I do also, because Ashley somehow bought like 15 of them or whatever, so.
Yeah, apparently Hut Strickland had a stockpile of them, and someone worked for him. I don't know. Anyway,
also,
I ended up with a box of them.
Trevor Boyes featured on that record, which I completely forgot about. Of course, he's the star of our show a few weeks ago. But great question, great submission. And if you, the listener out there, know of any racing songs that we haven't mentioned on here, go ahead and just shoot them our way. We'd love to hear them.
I had a few more. I had a list.
Oh, you do? Shit.
Marty Robbins. I mean, he was a race car driver and he was a country singer.
That's
He's
true.
Got a song, 20th Century Drifter.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot about that one. That's a great song.
And then Jim Croce had Rapid Roy, that stock car boy. It's about Roy Hall from Dawsonville, Georgia. That's a good one.
Damn.
Mel Tillis, Long Way to Daytona.
God. I have that on vinyl too. Fuck, I forgot about that.
Brooks and Dunn had Sunday Money. And as far as like newer songs, there's a band called Lee Baines and the Glory Fires. I have a song called Dirt Track. Mm. And my all-time favorite is this guy named Adam Carroll. It's a song that came out in like 2000 or something, but the song is called Race Car Joe, and that's one of my all-time favorite songs. So.
Adam Carroll rules. Yeah.
So that's my little list.
While you were reading that list, I did a quick Google search just to see if anything came up, and this list, top 10 list of best and strangest racing-related songs of all time came up, and a bunch that we mentioned were here. The first on the list was a song called Faster by George Harrison, which apparently was dedicated to the entire Formula One circus and memorial to Ronnie Peterson.
That's right.
So that's a song. But at the very end of the list, for some reason, they added fucking Fleetwood Mac's The Chain.
It was F1's theme song on the BBC for many years.
That's not a racing song, though. It's just like it was used as the theme.
But that bass line is like synonymous with Formula One, and I knew that as a Formula One thing before I even knew it was Fleetwood Mac when I was a little kid.
Let's see, that's how I feel about Flirting with Disaster by Molly Hatchet.
That might be the number one racing song right there, even though it's not.
Yeah. That song immediately takes me back to my childhood every time I hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm Darryl Waltrip from Papyrus. This is NASCAR Racing.
Well, no. You're
no, not Darryl Waltrip. I'm sorry.
You're getting your shit mixed up. That was from,
I'm Ned Jarrett.
Yes, that was. It was from EA Sports NASCAR 98, the first ever. The second PlayStation game, because Papyrus did have a PlayStation.
And Flirting with Disaster was on that not though. On. It was on the DOS game.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Yeah,
all
it was
right.
The original. Yeah.
No shit. Okay.
That's great. Yeah, again, thank you for submitting that. Great fucking question. And again, if you guys know any other songs, please let us know. What else is out there that we want to talk about before we get the fuck out of here?
We got a bunch of Dirt Darth? Track stuff here. And
oh, that's right. We don't have to go through all of this. I can do a real quick run through here. Jonathan Davenport called Knoxville a dump and broke the internet in half. Scott Blomquist said he doesn't know who Ricky Thornton Jr. is, which broke it all the way. And he does. He definitely knows who Ricky Thornton Jr. is. Ronnie Silk and Justin Bonsignor had a hell of a battle at Riverhead. That's probably my race of the week right there. If you want to go back and look at highlights, Flow Racing has posted that. Those two just beating the shit out of each other. Not quite Bowman Gray style, but just really good aggressive modified racing on a bullring. Congrats to Justin Bonsignor for pulling that off. And by the way, that's the tightest fucking NASCAR points battle out there. Silk and Justin have been trading that with about a margin of maybe 1 to 3 points for a few weeks now, and it's coming down to the bitter end here. Of course, they'll be at North Wilkesboro weekend after next. Zeb Wise is your All-Star Circuit of Champions champion. That's a weird thing to say. And then Rico Abreu not going to the Chili Bowl because he's going to Australia. So that's another high-profile guy not taking a midget to Tulsa this year. But most importantly, and this is a Kenny Wallace update. We haven't had one in a while. We've mentioned him a little bit briefly. I'm pretty much every episode. We haven't devoted any time. But, of course, you know his buddy Jughead has been pretty low on his health. He kind of elaborated on it in a GoFundMe post that was put together by Gordy Gundaker, it looks like. So good guy, Gordy.
So I'm reading this now, and there's a bunch of things I'm learning about Frankie that I was not, about Jughead that I was not expecting to learn. Like, hey, he's basically shitting himself to death because he had his gallbladder removed. That's what's wrong with him.
Yeah, he had his gallbladder taken out, and something's wrong with it, and no doctor can figure it out. So they're going to the Mayo Clinic, and Kenny Wallace and Gordy Gundaker put together a GoFundMe looking for money. As of today, that GoFundMe is at $94,000. So that's a good head start. For a guy who seems to be really well thought of and loved, and he certainly is by us as well, and it's cool to see that. So
the other details though, he's married, he has a wife.
He's got a wife.
His wife's name is Joetta, which is a pretty fucking
wild name.
That's
a great name.
It's a pretty wild name, and they both work at Walmart, so
I love this keeps getting better.
It does. And yet, sadly, his insurance turned down any of the care he was looking for at the Mayo Clinic, and so, you know, as Americans have to do, because our health insurance and health system is fucked up, they turned to the people, and the people responded. So anyone who gave money, good on you. I'll probably throw a couple bucks in there too while we're at it. Let's get that across the $100,000 mark and get our boy Jughead pooping right and feeling good again, because that's got to be tough, you know. And then also going out there hitting Ruby Tuesday with Kenny Wallace every night out on the road, you know. That's a lot of sodium, buddy. So
yeah, Andy Newsom also does not have a gallbladder, so
my wife doesn't either.
Oh wow,
it's a pretty common deal for that to get sludged up, and you got to get it taken out. Her whole family's has dealt with that, so, and that's a tough operation to deal with in the first place. So it definitely lays you up. So I feel for anybody with complications from that, because if it doesn't go well, then you just don't feel good. And you know, for Jughead to still be out there despite feeling like that, hanging with Kenny and still doing his thing, and you know, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel like a piece of shit when I don't want to go out and see a buddy across town because I'm tired or whatever. So. But yeah, that's the short track wrap up, brought to you by Jughead's GoFundMe.
All right, and Rob, you got a DARF of the week here that is a tiny bit it's piggybacking off of the Sherry Pollux news, unfortunately, which isn't a surprise to have this related to the DARF of the week.
Yeah, talking about, you know, people who really just need to like wait a minute before they start asking more questions or opening their mouths. Bob Pockris posted, of course, you know, that Sherry had passed. And a guy named, and again, I'm not trying to have a discussion that's political or about medical advice or vaccines or fucking whatever the bullshit we want to talk about is, you know. I don't fucking care. I really don't. I don't care either way. You're all gonna die at some point, so whatever. That's my take on it, I guess. But this guy says, was she vaccinated? Oh, sorry. His name was Eric. M-A-D-J Eric. So I guess that's Massachusetts DJ Eric. He probably lives right up the street from me. He responds to Bob Proctor saying, was she vaccinated? Them vaccines have skyrocketed cancer cases. So before anybody comes here fussing about my question, it is a legitimate question. Was she vaccinated? Because the public needs to know. First off, no, they fucking don't. Second, she's had cancer for like 30 years or some shit.
But also, like, third,
can't people just die of fucking cancer?
She,
Jesus.
She was vocally anti-vax, so yeah. There's
she
that.
Was.
She
was.
Yes.
She definitely was. Yeah. So there's yeah. that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, like, I don't care, but that guy's an idiot. He's my DARF for the week, and he can... You know, he can lick all the hot barbecue sauce off that uneaten bologna for his punishment.
With the flies.
Yeah. And in a yurt with Danica Patrick, which maybe he'd like that. I don't fucking know.
Yeah,
but
he probably would.
So depending on his feelings on Danica, you know, she can be included or not. But that's my DARF for the week.
We gotta wrap it up here. There's a lot of racing going on this weekend. Aside from NASCAR in Texas,
that's
obviously.
A fact. Ugh. I will be going to the Stafford Fall Final. No NASCAR mod racing this weekend because everyone's gonna be up here, mm-hmm. getting rained out on Saturday. That's always a big show. And
oh no, it's supposed to rain.
Yeah, it looks like it might rain. So we'll see.
Oh no.
And so this will be like the fourth time I've tried to go to Stafford in particular this year, where God or whatever the fuck, you know. What's the god of weather? Is there such a thing in Greek mythology?
I don't know.
Thud? Thud.
Al Roker.
Al Roker, the Greek god of weather, has been pissing on me all year, so I have not gone to Stafford yet somehow, and it looks like I might not get to this year, which is kind of a bummer, but if I do, it'll be a good show, and the fall final's always great, and there's always next year, I suppose, that track's not fucking going anywhere. Also, in the late models, the Valley Star 300 is probably the biggest fucking race of the year at Martinsville. That should be a good show. Anybody who's anything in a fucking super late is going to be at that race. So,
hello.
Did we lose Rob?
No, I'm still here. What did you thought? Okay. You just thought I was going to talk more.
you stopped very short. That's
well, I was trying to give you guys some room to say something, but.
I was going to say with the Stafford deal. It's funny you mentioned not going to Stafford this year. I know we talked about me wanting to do the rent a ride. I've managed to find those people. You know,
they totaled that shit.
Yeah, well, I managed to find those.
That thing doesn't have a fucking front end anymore, dude.
Yeah, they I found them on Instagram and I was like, how do I do this? And they just never responded. So yeah, I guess maybe they did.
Yeah, that thing had one of the nastiest street stock wrecks I've ever seen at Stafford. So yeah,
well, I guess we'll see what happens.
Also, the Four Crown Nationals at Eldora this weekend, that's always fun. Jackson 100 at Brownstown, that's the Lucas Oil Dirt Late Model Series. 10K to win on Friday night and 30K to win on Saturday. RTJ is gonna maybe show Scott Blomquist who he is yet again. Maybe he'll tune in and see that, because Ricky's having a pretty good year. And I think that's pretty much the fucking deal besides NASCAR and Tejas.
So I've got some decisions to make now that you've told me about the Northeast weather. So the Outlaws are in Sharon this weekend.
That's right.
Which is close to me, but... Two things. One, I am planning on going to see Kyle Larson's race on Tuesday at Lernerville. So I do plan on going to that. So I'm not really looking forward to two drives like that in a few days. But also, the Albany Saratoga Speedway, Malta Massive, 115 laps for $11,500. Kenny Tremont's final race is Saturday night. And I was planning on staying home and watching that, but if it's going to rain, I got to think about this now. So I guess I'll just have to watch the weather in New York the next few days and see what happens.
Well, Outlaws are also at Eldora before the Four Crown, and then there's also the Four Crown. So you could probably get away with some sort of sprint car racing this weekend, and it'll be worth your while.
Well, I guess, we'll see. I don't really necessarily want to drive to Eldora. Eldora's like almost 4 hours.
Go drink some fucking toilet water and sleep in the car, bud. It's fine.
we'll see what happens. So yeah, Ashley, you doing it up?
No, he's not gonna do it.
Oh no, probably I have to rest for weeks.
I was gonna say you need you need a month off until Martinsville, whatever, right? Oh, the Roval, that's right. Yeah, so you need a couple weeks of rest. So you had your big weekend.
Getting down to the end of the year here. How many races you have left, True Love?
The Roval, Martinsville.
Two. Damn. You got any short track stuff you're gonna do?
I'm gonna try to come to the finals to hang out with you if I have the money.
Nice.
We'll see.
Yeah, there's a potential of me doing that too. So we'll
that'll
see.
Be fun. Yeah, I've only got a couple left. There's this weekend at Stafford, and then, of course, the Haunted 100 down at now at Waterford Speed Bowl, which it used to be at Seekonk. It's kind of weird that it got moved. And then the World Series at Thompson, if they can get any cars to show up. And then, of course, there's a NASCAR mod race, so they'll get at least 15. By the way, I talk shit about car counts all the time. This modified race at North Wilkesboro coming up has 39 on the entry list already. So
when is that?
That is weekend after next. So that would be
Talladega weekend, the 30th.
I think it's the 29th, 30th, or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's next weekend. Yeah, Talladega weekend.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. But yeah, and then the World Finals, which is my not the best racing you'll see all year, but there's a lot of it, and pretty much everyone on fucking Earth is at that race, so it's a good hang. So that's hopefully cool. You get to come up for that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think that's it. I think we've talked enough. We've this might be our longest episode yet.
It might be.
We talked about Bristol for way too long.
We cut the no. There's never too much of that.
We talked about those cat keys for half an hour.
Well, I just gotta see them. You gotta send that photo immediately.
Yeah.
So
yeah, mm-hmm. they'll make sure. The post tomorrow too. So.
And with that, folks, our trip to Applebee's for the week is going to wrap up. As always, you can follow us at Meet Me at Applebee's on Instagram, Meet Me at DeBees on Twitter. I am Speedway Screens on everything, and SpeedwayTSJ.etsy.com. And Ashley's probably worn out her plug for the week, but we'll see if she gets it.
Yeah, I had to talk about my Instagram name in person with strangers.
I was gonna ask, did you get any DMs? You offered your DMs opened.
I didn't get any DMs, but I took multiple pictures with people who came up asking if I was Snake Mountain True Love, and I also signed some guy's leopard print jacket. They were all very nice. I loved all of them.
I have been to like 3 or 4 races with you now, and don't act like this doesn't happen in every single race we've been to. Every single one, somebody has come up to you and said and asked if you were that person.
Yeah, if I'm getting recognized at the racetrack once in a while, then you definitely are. So.
It happens every single race multiple times. And it still catches me off guard, but everyone that I meet is always so fucking cool and nice. So
is that why you won't wear the Crocs?
Yeah, I have.
Can't let them see you comfy. Yeah.
I walked 15 miles in cowboy boots this weekend.
Fuck Christ!
Yeah, I need my rest.
Oh, I guess it's my turn, huh? Rob Motes _ unofficial on all your social media channels. My band, These Wild Plains, is playing with American Aquarium on Monday the 25th. That's next Monday at Alchemy in Providence, Rhode Island. It's our only show in New England this year. It's one of like 4 shows we're going to play all year. There's a couple more down south later, which I'll bother you a little bit closer to time. But yeah, if you live in New England and you want to see us play and you want to see American Aquarium, or if you don't want to see us play and you just want to see American Aquarium, too bad. Next Monday night, come say what's up and let's have a beer together.
Hell yeah, that's going to be fun.
It will be fun, yeah.
Cool. All right, folks. Well, thanks for joining us once again, and we'll talk to you next week.